Amen. That was good. What a blessing and what a great, great song. That is Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah 1. Jeremiah, of course, known as the weeping prophet. He preached the message warning the people of captivity that was sure to come if the people continued in their sin. Obviously, we need more weeping today, because the people continue in their sin. And Jeremiah's message is a message that I think the United States of America needs to take heed to, because God is only going to put up with it so long. Would you agree? I've entitled the message, A Seething Pot, and I'll explain that in just a minute. But Jeremiah 1, Jeremiah, of course, here is, we see his call to the work. The Bible says in verse 5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. By the way, there's a good verse that should show you that abortion's wrong. It's a good verse that should prove to us that abortion is murder. And God said, I knew thee. Before he ever formed him, God said, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. And I believe to the nations, to the Jews, of course, but I believe to this nation that we need to take heed to what Jeremiah says. Jeremiah says that, he says, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. The Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. And watch what he says. Whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces. We have too many folks afraid of people's faces today. They're afraid of what everybody might think, afraid of what politics might say, afraid of politically correct statements or not. And Jeremiah is warned by God. He said, don't be afraid of their faces. God says, I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand, touched my mouth. The Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. And he says, see, I have this day set thee over the nations, over the kingdoms, to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. And now we come into our text passage. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. Now this rod, I believe, is speaking of a rod that is going to be used for chastening. Many people don't know what that is today, because there's not a whole lot of chastening going on today. But that is, I believe, a rod. God's saying, I'm going to deal with you because of your sin. God's saying to the nation of Israel, I'm going to deal with you because you have chosen other gods. You have chosen to do your own thing. God says, I'm going to deal with you. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. In other words, Jeremiah is preaching to the people, and he's going to tell the people that God is going to deal with their sin. God is going to punish them. God is going to chasten that nation. And God even then is making the preparation for that chastisement. By the way, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Don't forget that. Verse 13, and the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, what seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. And if you study your Bible, if you study geography any, you will find that the Babylonian Empire was to the north, and their armies were already coming together, and it would not be long, and the Jews, God's people, would be chastened by the captivity. Then the Lord said unto me, out of the north, an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord. They shall come, they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. Father, please help us to take heed today. We love our country, God. We are so privileged to be Americans. And what a blessing it is to, to grow up in a nation like ours and to have freedom to be able to preach the Word of God. And God, I pray that the children that are over in junior church, they'll, when they're my age, they'll have this same freedom. And that they'll be able to preach and teach and go soul winning and run buses and have vacation Bible school. But God, I'm afraid that America is like a seething pot today and about to boil over. We need you, God, and we need to listen to your word, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You'll notice here that I believe there is a good comparison with the United States of America as to the way Israel was in the time that Jeremiah is warning them of God's judgment. We always think of, you know, and John 3:16 is in the Bible. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. But we need to understand the reason Jesus hung on a cross was punishment had to be dealt out for sin. God deals with sin. God is not mocked, the Bible says. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. And that is always true. That is true throughout Scripture. You never see somebody do something against God and God not deal with it one way or another. Sometimes God deals with it by conviction and the person in tears weeps and gets right with God. Sometimes God has to deal with it with chastening. And God has to literally, as a father would spank his child, God has to do that to his people. And God does that to nations as well. God deals with nations. And God, I believe, is going to deal with America unless something happens soon. I believe America is a seething pot, just as Israel was in this day, the time of Jeremiah. I believe the United States of America, it's boiling. You know, if you can imagine in your mind a pot that has been put on the fire and the water is boiling and it is about to boil over. It is about something is going to happen. Now, certainly, we all would like to think that something is the rapture. Most of the folks in this room are saved. We've trusted Christ. He's our Savior, and we're looking for the rapture anytime. Amen. And even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But I don't know that that's going to happen anytime soon, neither do you. How many Christians over the past 2,000 years, how many Christians have been hoping that the next thing is the rapture? How many have been looking for the coming of Jesus Christ, hoping that the pot wouldn't boil over, hoping that their nation would be spared, hoping that their family might be spared the judgment of God? I want to remind you, there are no guarantees for America. I've said this before, I still say it. I do not see America, the United States of America, I don't see a direct reference to the United States of America in the prophecy during the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I just don't. Now, that doesn't mean it's not there. I just don't see it. And I know other Bible scholars that would say the same thing. You see Germany, you know, you see Russia, you see Israel, of course, you see all the Arab nations, you see the Middle East. But where is America in that time? There is no guarantee, I believe, for America. Verse 15, go back to it here, look at it. It says, "For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms in the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entering in or entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, against all the cities of Judah." God says, I'm going to call together these families. I'm going to call together. I'm going to speak to Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar is going to be my servant in dealing with you, and I'm going to let Nebuchadnezzar deal with you, and I'm going to let Nebuchadnezzar and his army, the Chaldean army, I am going to let them come, and they are going to set up their own throne at your gate. They're going to conquer you. They are going to take you into captivity. God says, unless you get right with me, that is what's going to happen. It is inevitable. You know, God always will find and he'll always have those that are against us that all he has to do is stir them up a little bit and they're ready to chop off our heads. Can you think of any groups in America that would like to just do away with us? I can think of several. Right? Can you think of any groups all over this world that would like to do away with Christianity? All God has to do is just let them. Are you listening? All God has... I'll tell you what it would do. It'd wake up the church, wouldn't it? Yeah. I mean, honestly, if we had to meet today in secret somewhere, how many would go? We went away, of course, last Saturday, right after the wedding and right after the reception. And we had to really work hard to get to church Sunday morning. We had to work hard. We had to drive to Erie, Pennsylvania and to get a good church. And we made sure it was a good church. Amen. We had to work hard then to go from there to a church. The service started at 5 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday. We found that out on our way. By the way, our service starts at 5. And we had to hurry. We had to get there. Why? Because you need to be in church. That's why. And then Wednesday night, we had to hurry. We had to drive and get back down into the Cleveland area to get to a good church. We made sure it was a good church. We had to work hard to get in that good church in order to get something from God. And I say all that to say, you know, if we had to hide somewhere, and we had to figure out a way to go to a wood somewhere, we had to go maybe out to the Letson farm and have church in the barn there or whatever it might, I just wonder how many would make that effort. But if your lives were at risk, your family was at risk, you needed God. You see, that's what the people were facing. Okay, what we have a decision to make, they're saying. You know, we've got our other gods. We have our humanistic gods. You know, the god of humanism is me. You want to know the god of humanism? You want to know the biggest god today, little g god? It's the person you look at in the mirror. It's humanism. It's a worship of me. What I want. What feels good to me. That's the number one god, I think. It's not Diana. Goddess of the Ephesians. No. It's not Zeus. It's Zeus and Mies. We look in the mirror. We worship our God often too much. I'm just saying there's always been those that God could just stir up and say, okay, the gate's open. Go get them. Go get them. If we had to make an effort to come to church, I wonder how many would. And that's what God says. You know, I'm really frustrated with that. I'm tired of that. God says, I you know, he sent Jeremiah to be the voice, to be the preacher, to preach to the people and warn them, if you don't get right with me, verse 16, I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness. And by the way, it's their wicked. We're not just talking about the United States of America. Oh, it's wicked. There's a lot of wickedness, but it's God's people. We are quietly, the United States of America, we are quietly, secretly falling. We are boiling over, if you will. And it's a seething pot. Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. And every effort is being made to totally wipe God out of the picture. I'm talking about God. I'm talking about the God who has blessed America over the years. I'm not saying America's a Christian nation. It's not. I'm not saying it ever was a Christian nation. But even the non-Christians recognize God. There was a day. And now it is so far from that. Now listen, God wants to bless America. We need to understand, we need God to bless America, or America's gone. How do we stop the boiling? I say to you, it is a seething pot ready to boil over. How can we stop it? There's three things I want to give you today that will stop the boiling, I believe. First of all, we need to recognize God. We need to recognize God. I'm amazed how many people don't know anything about God. By the way, the public schools, when I went to school, when I was in first grade in 1965, we had Bible teaching first thing in school. We all went in the gym, we all had a little paper, and we got a little sticky thing, and we put that little sticky thing on our paper, and we learned a Bible verse. How many of you would say the same thing in public school? Several folks, okay? Yeah, not now. Do you know how many generations, how many people have grown up? They know nothing of God. They know nothing of the history of our nation. They know nothing about the pilgrims other than, hey, let's eat a big meal. They don't know that Thanksgiving was all about the people surviving. Thank you, God, we're alive. For many, 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 many people, they know nothing of this. Chapter 2, verse 2, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee. Oh, listen, folks, God, can you imagine God looking, you go from George Washington, you go from Abraham Lincoln, who prayed and begged God, and George Washington, who prayed for victory, and on and on and on, to the leadership that we've seen in the last few years. I'm talking about leaders that begged God for His blessing on the country to the kind of junk we deal with today. It's a boiling, a seething pot. Thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness in a land that was not sown. God says, I remember when you loved me. God says, I remember when you trusted me. Are you listening? I remember those things God says to His people. God says, I remember the love you had. I remember the kindness of your youth. I remember that excitement that you had. And I think back to an America that the people just absolutely thanked God for what they had. Boy, times have changed, haven't they? I wonder how many students know what the motto is of the United States of America. Our motto. I know several adults know the motto. Where does any student know the motto of the United States? What is it?
In God we trust.
Very good. In God we trust. We just sang it. Star Spangled Banner. Fourth verse. By the way, is this not our national anthem? I often wonder if we really, really wanted to stir things up when they tell another student you can't use the name of God in a graduation commencement at a public school, or you can't use the name of God, or you can't talk about God in a forum of any kind or anything like that. I wonder what they would do if a student said, well, I'm going to just sing the fourth verse of the Star Spangled Banner, which is our national anthem. Oh, thus be it ever when free men shall stand between their loved homes and the war's desolation, blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land, praise the power. What's that? That hath made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must when our cause it is just, and this be our motto, in God is our trust. God says, I remember when you trusted me. I remember that. I remember an America that trusted God. By the way, Twin Towers go down 6 months. 6 months. It's about how long it lasted. Are you listening? Remember? We were there. Remember? It's about 6 months. Before a ball game, God bless America. Nobody said anything. Oh, liberals cringed. Atheists cringed. Nobody dared say anything. We're hurting. We need God. 6 months, we needed God. Do you understand? God can very easily make it so we need Him again. That's the whole point. You go into captivity, you need God. We need to recognize God. I'm amazed, Brother Collins. We passed scriptures back and forth to each other, and he gave me Deuteronomy 8, verse 16, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. Then he wrote this comment. It's always wise to remember who took care of you in the wilderness. Otherwise, you may get another look at it. So good. Just so fitting. Come on, America! We need to recognize God. We need to recognize God. Thank God for America. How sad its thankfulness is overshadowed by a griping, whining mentality of what's in it for me. Gone are the days of sacrifice. Gone are the ideas of, what can I do for my country? We could be a poor nation like India, but we're not. Nobody has to starve in America. We could be communistic like other countries. Do you know that instead of saluting the stars and the stripes today, we could have been hailing to the swastika? Easily. Somebody says, yeah, Germany, they really messed up. I mean, Hitler had the thing. He had the thing, but he attacked Russia. What a dummy. Do you know there's a God in heaven? Has a lot to do. I mean, you can study wars. You can study all those kind of things. You can study America. But I got news for you. God has blessed America. And we need to recognize God. We need to thank God for those who fought for America. Verses 4 and 5 of chapter 2. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me and have walked after vanity and are become vain? You know, America was born a righteous nation, born in the hearts of the righteous to worship God. I understand there were unsaved people. I understand there were heathen that came over. I understand there were those in the taverns and all those kind of things. But ultimately and certainly overwhelmingly, the people recognized God. They left Catholicism. They left state religion. They would have left Islam, because anything that forces you to worship a certain way, that's not liberty. That's not freedom. I have absolutely no problem with a Jehovah Witness doing his thing. I have no problem with a Muslim doing his thing. I want to preach to him. I want to tell him about Jesus and how he loves him. But I can't force them to do anything. You can't make somebody get saved. But oh, let me tell you, if these state religions or these other religions, if they have the power, they're going to force you to do something. Yeah. Somebody says, well, Christianity, what about all the murders? No, that's Catholicism. That's not Christianity. We're not. Look, you have a right to do what you do. That's fine. Just don't do it where it affects me. And I'm not going to, I'm going to tell you about Jesus. I'm going to talk to you about, but you don't have to, if you don't get saved, I don't hate you. See, that's freedom. That's what America was founded on, folks. It was born a righteous nation. With communism, socialism all around us, America has stood tall all this time. Thank God. Thank God. Do you know the first textbook in our schools was the Bible? Do you understand that the first songs that were sung came out of hymn books? That's our nation. You say, boy, it's not like that anymore. You can't even find churches today that use hymn books. And the songs aren't the old songs. About the blood. I'm just, again, thank God for our heritage. Our roots of righteousness. Verse 7, I brought you into a plentiful country. And that's how I think of America, a plentiful country. Isn't that something? You know, God spoke. Somebody said, you Americans are lucky. You had gold and you have iron and you have... Now listen to me. God spoke and there was gold. God spoke and there's iron. You have to understand, God spoke and there's grain. God speaks and there's coal. God, listen to me, He spoke and He allowed things to be invented like airplanes and automobiles and all the industrial things. God allows that kind of technology. Man did not invent digital technology. I marvel at all that stuff. Years ago, in a speech class in our Christian school back in Indiana, I had a young man get up and he spoke about digitizers. And I remember him talking about it. And I remember kind of chuckling like, he doesn't have a clue. He had a clue. I didn't have a clue. But man didn't invent that, just like Al Gore didn't invent the internet. The ability to do all of that is God just letting us learn a little bit more. A little bit more. A little bit more. Do you know most people have computers? Do you know that most people have cell phones? Do you know that many of us remember when a cell phone was just a dream? For now, and now it's a nightmare, amen? But many of us, you know, we remember party lines, and we remember all. Now we have cell phones. Now we have the internet on our cell phones. Now we have, and that's just because God has allowed it. It's not, man's not great. Man's not oh so smart. If man was oh so smart, he'd have invented it a long time ago. We bought a cooler the other day for our fish. And my wife was absolutely thrilled. You know why? Because our cooler had wheels on it. She said, honey, I believe this is the first cooler we've ever owned with wheels. And she said this just yesterday. She said, why didn't somebody invent wheels for coolers years ago? Because we're so smart. And I thought, there's something else out there that needs invented that I want to patent. No. But wheels on a cooler. Why didn't we think of that years ago? Why didn't we think about a lot of things? It's God just lets us learn. It should humble us what we don't know. Shouldn't it? Try to make an eye. They keep telling me with my glaucoma that the optic nerve, once that's gone, it's gone. Build an optic nerve. Somebody make one. Okay, my right eye optic nerve is getting pretty bad. Could you build me an optic nerve, please? Huh? I'm just saying, you know, God spoke and America had what America needed to become great. And America had God because churches were built all across America. Churches were built and churches were started and the preaching went on and on. Sure, there were drunks. Sure, there was prostitution. Sure, there was sin. But most of the people said, God's God. And you know, America never surrendered to another country. We're so close. It's a seething pot about to boil over. But understand, we need to recognize God. It is God who made America great. And when's the last time people thanked God for making America great? Well, I'm afraid I'll get in trouble. Right. Notice verse 6. Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought, of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through and where no man dwelt. And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof, the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land. I wish we'd understand this is His land. I wish we'd recognize God, that it is His land that He gave us. We need to recognize God. Number two, we need to respond. We need to respond, Christian. I mean, you say, well, I come to church and I recognize God. Verse 9, wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. God said to the children of Israel, He said, I'm pleading, I'm begging you. I don't want you to go into captivity, but I'm telling you, it's a boiling pot. It's about to boil over. He said, pass over the isles of Chittim and see and send unto Kedar and consider diligently. What? We're going to check out what these other countries. Yeah, He said, check it out. He said, and see if there be such a thing. I circled a thing And I put a little arrow up there, and that is to leave God. You know what he's saying? He's saying that the Isles of Chittim, their little small g god that they worship, they keep worshiping their little small g god. He said about Kedar, he said, their little g, their small g god, maybe a little urn on a shelf or maybe a little statue out in the yard or something like that. He said, you know what? They still worship their god. And God said, I promise you this, you check out all these other places. Verse 11, hath a nation changed their gods which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. My people, he said, have done that. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns. That's to gather water. But notice, broken cisterns that can hold no water. You know what humanism is? It is a broken cistern. It can hold no water. Man is the measure of all things. No, you're not. Just look at your wrinkles. No, you're not. Just look at your last medical exam. We're not the measure of all things. We die. We're not going to do anything about that. You can't even build me a new optic nerve. You know what? We're not the measure of anything except for this. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's our measure. We need to respond, Christian. We need to respond. A chain is no stronger than the weakest link. And that's us. We're all a weak link. Let me read something from CLA. In New York State, our legal missionary attorneys are litigating on behalf of an eighth grade student, a church secretary's daughter, who wanted to say the following to her class in her speech at her graduation ceremony. As we say our goodbyes and leave middle school behind, I say to you, may the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you, lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. The teachers were concerned these comments were too religious for schools. The administration ordered her to remove these sentences or not speak at the event. They censored out the language you just read above. This young Christian lady is described by her teachers, listen to this, as a model student who cares about others and gives of herself generously to help. She wanted to speak from her heart, but her words of Old Testament blessing were banned as illegal. This case is currently being prosecuted in federal court in New York. But now think about this. In another New York school near this one, two boys who claimed to be gay were elected to be king and queen for the school homecoming. This was widely reported in the local press. As you might imagine, at this school, the dress code is non-existent, with the students wearing or not wearing whatever they want. Drugs and fornication are rampant problems. Bullying, disrespect, and cursing are daily events that are accepted as a way of life for these educators. Cell phone jammers are installed in the buildings to keep the kids from cheating, harassing, or sending inappropriate text messages to each other. That's a school just down the road where this young girl, who's a model student, who is caring, generous to other people, she could not give her religious speech. The tragic lesson of this case is that wanting to give a simple prayer blessing to your classmates will get you censored, yet if you speak up for evil, you will not even be questioned. The administrator agreed, listen to this, that if this student had wanted to discuss her sexual orientation or a Muslim or Jewish upbringing, that would be allowed. It's just the Bible and Christianity that are not allowed in the public school. Now, we need to respond. We need to respond with our voice in prayer. We need to respond with our voice as we speak to men. We need to respond. Forces of anti-Christian, anti-American activities are at work in our country, and it is unbelievable. And it's becoming, by the way, it used to be hidden. It's becoming more and more out in the open and in our face. We need to respond with our voice in prayer. Respond with our voice speaking to people. But we need to respond with our votes as well. But you know why we don't? Because of money. That's why we don't. We need to vote like Jesus would want us to vote. We need to vote if there's abortion. If somebody has anything to do with abortion, I wouldn't vote for it. It's murder. If it's a marriage issue, well, we think that two men ought to be allowed to be married. I wouldn't vote for it. Why? Well, preacher, you know, times are changing, but God's word doesn't change. And we need to respond. We need to be responsible people. I mean, you understand that if school board members, and thank God we have some good Christian people in our schools in our area, but I'm telling you, it's like a wave that is sweeping over America and has been for many, many years. I'm telling you, the efforts to get God out, where we're running into children all the time that have never heard the story of Genesis. They've never heard the story of Jesus' birth. They know nothing of Easter except about Peter Cottontail. They know nothing about why the pilgrims came. We need to respond, folks. We really do. But again, as long as our vote is influenced by money and what we might be able to get, it's going to be a big problem. And we all know the healthcare thing. They're going to tell you what you can and can't have treated. And there's folks saying, oh, this is the best thing. It is not the best thing. For many folks, it's going to be the worst thing. Because you're going to want treatment, and they're going to say, sorry, you can't have it. Yeah. We need to respond. Won't be long and the government is going to be taken over. They took over the schools. Won't be long, businesses will be taken over. They're taking over some. GM. Won't be long. You know what they ultimately want to take over? Your home. Your home. They want to take over your kids. Let me close with this. Number three, we need to repent. We need to recognize God. We need to respond. We need to repent. You'll notice verse 14, chapter 2. Is Israel a servant? She wasn't supposed to be. Is he a homeborn slave? Wasn't supposed to be. Why is he spoiled? That's not spoiling like a person getting too many things. Spoiled is become a spoil. It means to lose everything. Why? What would cause us to lose our freedom? What would cause us? I'll tell you just one thing. The pot boils over. And God says, enough. That's what it is. Righteousness exalteth a nation. But sin is a reproach to any people. Proverbs 14:34. It isn't going to happen through legislation. It's going to happen through soul winning, preaching, evangelism, Vacation Bible School. How many children, first time in their life, I heard this a couple of times from different people, first time in their life they heard about Jesus. That doesn't seem right, does it? I mean, praise God they did. Praise God they got saved. It just doesn't seem right that in America, where there's a church, just about anywhere you look, for the first time in their life, they heard the story of Jesus. Just amazing to me. The pilgrims at Plymouth Rock were on their knees. Washington at Valley Forge was praying for victory. Lincoln called for national repentance. Mothers used to pray. Grandmothers, dads used to pray. Abraham Lincoln said, the important thing is not that we have God on our side, but that we make sure we are on His side. That was Abraham Lincoln. That was a president of the United States of America. Times sure have changed, haven't they? We need to repent. I want to remind you of 2 Chronicles 7:14 that starts out, if my people, which are called by my name, that's us. My people called by my name. God says, my people, my people. And by the way, He says, turn from their wicked ways. That's His people. I understand what the homosexuals are doing. I understand what the abortionists are doing. I understand what the drunkards are doing and the pornography market and pedophiles and all that mess. I understand. But He says, my people, it's up to us. We need to get back on our knees. Get back to using our voice. Get back to using our vote. And we need to turn back America. Otherwise, I'm serious about this. I'm afraid. I'm afraid for these children, these young people, these teenagers. I don't know. It's a seething pot. Away with communism. Away with liberalism. Away with gay rights. Away with a sex-starved society. We need to preach it. We need to preach it from here, in Sunday school, on our buses. We need to reach more Americans with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the only way, I believe. We need to recognize God. We need to respond. We need to repent. Otherwise, I believe it's going to boil over. It's a seething pot. And there's only one way for a seething pot to go other than to stop, and that is to boil over. Do you care about America? Wasn't it great pledging to our flag? Do you know there's folks in America, hundreds and thousands of people, who won't pledge to the flag? In fact, there are hundreds and thousands of people that will spit on the flag. There are many today that will burn our flag. Yeah. Why are they like that? Well, God said my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Yeah. You and I have the truth. We need to get it out. Otherwise, our country, it is a boiling, seething pot. I believe about to boil over. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. A seething pot. I wonder if there's someone here today who'd say, preacher, I'm not even sure I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know if I'm going to heaven. Please pray for me. Would you be honest? Just raise your hand, say, pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. Anyone? Raise your hand. Pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Anyone at all? How many would say, preacher, as a Christian, God has spoken to my heart about some things today. Please pray for me as a Christian. Would you raise your hand? I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. Come on, come on, come on. Father, please bless our country, bless our church, bless our homes. Help us to make the decisions that you've laid on our hearts. Help us to turn from our wicked ways. Help us to get back to loving you and to love you with all our hearts. You asked for our hearts when you said, my son, give me thine heart. I pray we'll do that and that we'll love you and we'll be excited about loving you. Please bless now the invitation. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.